Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast. JP Finley here. Got the assembled. Tanner's on his lazy boy. Mitch and Pete are in studio. I'm at home because it's supposed to be an off day, but in the world of the podcast, there are no off days. We got a lot to discuss. We got to figure out what the hell is going on at wide receiver. Before we do that, two things. Always want to thank the good folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Y'all should ride with them. Number two, our tailgate is this weekend. This thing is happening. Everything is approved and moving through the wheels of government. So we need you guys to turn up. Orange Lot A. We will be there early. We're going to have a boatload of food, sodas, water. We're going to hopefully be giving stuff away. A lot of our celebrities are going to be there. We're going to ask a lot of media guys to be there. Stay tuned. We'll try to give you exact times for when folks will be there. But I can tell you, me, Tanner, Mitch, Pete will all be there, ready to hang out. If you are an ambassador, bring your sign, bring your uniform, bring whatever you want. We will anoint new ambassadors on the spot as well. We're going to be doing a hour-long Facebook Live, so everybody that can't make it can tune into that. So that'll go from 11 to 12, and then starting at noon will be our Redskins kickoff pregame show, so everybody can watch that as well. Much more to come on that, but make sure you are there. September 23rd, this Sunday, Packers game, Redskins Talk tailgate. All right.
We will be there. Hold on. We will be there set up when the gates open, so come on by. Bring your food, bring your booze. Let's have some fun.
All right, Mitch. Good to know. Well, how early is that?
The setup folks are going to be there at 6 a.m. So whenever you're ready for us, we're ready for you guys.
What time are you getting there?
I am getting there at 6 a.m., my friend.
Oh, gosh.
I won't be getting there at 6 a.m.
Yeah, me either. We'll be there by like 10:30, though. So people just come on. We'll be there. It's going to be fun. Tanner, tell us what's going on at wide receiver. Get us up to speed.
Well, they signed two guys and let one guy go. They signed Rashad Perriman, former first-round pick of the Ravens, who has spent a lot of time on the injured list and has not been very productive. The Ravens just cut him at the end of training camp on September 1st on the cut-down date. And Michael Floyd, another former first-round pick, this one of the Cardinals. He was with the Saints in training camp before they let him go. And they have both been looking for employment, tried out with the Redskins on Monday, signed, or are set to sign, I would assume. We haven't heard anything official either way. The only thing official we've heard is Jehu Chesson, the wide receiver who brought it from the practice squad, who was a fourth-round pick of the Chiefs last year, was waived. And that's bringing you up to speed on the facts of the matter.
All right, so here's some info. Chesson appears to have a lot of potential as a special teams player, but the Skins need somebody that can play receiver for them. So Perriman and Floyd, last year Perriman had 0 for the season, didn't have a single catch, a single target, And here's what is even more remarkable about Breshad Perriman. This is a first-round pick who had a guaranteed contract for this season, and they still cut him. His money is guaranteed in 2018 and 2019, and the Ravens still decided they would rather just move on. So take what you want about Breshad Perriman. Michael Floyd is a bit more interesting. Michael Floyd has produced, and he's produced at a pretty high level. Now, granted, it came a number of years ago in Arizona, but if you look at his 2013 campaign with the Cardinals, he had 65 catches, over 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns. But ever since then, Chandler, I know you wrote about or at least made mention of, he had a DUI situation that was twice the legal limit. Is that right with Floyd?
It was .216, which is two plus times, not quite three, but two plus times the legal limit. Happened in Glendale, Arizona, where we were last week. And he served a 4-game suspension at the beginning of the 2017 season, by which time he had signed with the Vikings. So he actually sat out the first 4 games, played the rest of the year for the Vikings.
So, I mean, with Floyd, he's a former first-round pick. He's got some size. He at least has proven the ability to catch the football. Breshad Perriman has never shown that ability. My reaction to both these guys is tepid at best. Clearly, if you listen to the Day After podcast and my interview with Jay Gruden, clearly Gruden doesn't know what's going to happen with Mo Harris, and I think there are lingering questions with Paul Richardson's shoulder. I think that's why all these guys are getting brought in. I want to have a larger conversation about guys they didn't get, but let's at least get through our reaction to these two. Mitch, I'll start with you, and then Pete, go ahead.
I mean, who knows what you're going to get, but I'm kind of excited about Michael Floyd. I mean, he's been a good player in this league, like you talked about. He's a big body. He seems to be able to use it to go up and get balls, at least from, you know, what we saw back in the day. And the DUI situation in Arizona was particularly bad. If you remember, there was the video where he kind of rolled out of the truck and wasn't in good shape. But hopefully all that stuff's behind him. And, you know, you take a chance, take a flyer on a guy, no risk, you know, see what you get out of him. And Breshad Perriman's real fast, you know. There's no real deep threat right now. So maybe he can get open deep and find a way to soften up those hands a little bit.
Yeah, you said your reaction, JP, was tepid. Mine is like bleh, which I think is the onomatopoeia version of tepid. Maybe one out of the two of these guys works out. I'm glad they brought in two, because after Perriman, I was a little underwhelmed. Michael Floyd at least gives me a tiny bit of hope, but I think they need to worry more about the guys in-house and hopefully have Richardson, Crowder, and Dachson step up instead of relying on these two to hit and at least be somewhat productive, because we were worried about how Smith's chemistry was with the guys who've been in the building for 6 months. I don't think he's instantly just going to connect with Floyd and Perriman right away. So more worried about the guys in the building than those who are just coming in.
Did Pete, the same guy that couldn't make two phone calls to get me and Chandler on the phone, just use onomatopoeia in a sentence? Did that just happen?
Not only did he use it, he used it correctly.
Along with
what the hell was that? Right. That's a hell of a sentence. Your English teacher should be proud. Chandler, I don't know if you gave a reaction or you just gave
I gave the fact.
Okay, go.
First of all,
to
fix the facts a little bit, last year he did have targeted 35 times, 10 receptions for 77 yards. He did not play at all as a rookie. He played in 2016, 2017, and then so he is just guaranteed through this year. They did not pick up his fifth year. This is his fourth year.
Because the 1 year
they did not pick up his fifth year option, which was kind of a sign that, hey, you know, maybe things aren't going to go that well. They weren't that happy with him. So he's got 1 year. They paid him for whatever, you know, had to pay whatever his guaranteed salary was for this year, and so that they're done with him after this year. So he did catch 10 passes last year. That's not a big deal. But I just think, you know, they're not – people are comparing these guys to Josh Doxson. They're comparing him to Dez Bryant, who would cost a heck of a lot more money and would want to be a starter. But they're comparing him to Jehu Chesson and Brian Quick. Can those guys be more productive than those guys? I can't say, you know, not having seen either one of them really a whole lot lately. Can't say for sure, but you know, you have to think that there's a chance that they could be. So I think it's worth the flyer. It's certainly not you know, anything to get excited about. But I think it was worth a shot to try to upgrade that position group after two guys went on IR on opening day. They're kind of scrambling. They want guys with some experience who can get rolling in a hurry. And maybe these are the guys.
I mean, frankly, I tell you what, let's just go to the bigger conversation then. Because before we get there, I think we've got to talk about not going after Josh Gordon, not signing. At this point, it's relevant. Before we get to kind of the bigger conversation, I want to make sure folks are checking out Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram of Alexandria. Go see my guy, Andy Hay. He's the general manager over there. Or you can check out Jason Dill. He's the general sales manager. They will sell you any car you want. They got Chryslers, Jeeps, Dodges, and Rams. Rams are the trucks, but they got used cars too. They got the Orsman Lifetime Edge. Give them a call, 877-249-486. They'll take care of you. All right, so Taylor, you made a couple points there that necessarily signing Floyd and Perryman isn't about competing with Doctson and Crowder and Richardson, and I agree with you there. I do think the questions about what's going on with Mo Harris's health are really starting to mount at this point. But we know what the Pats had to give up to get Josh Gordon. I've been pretty adamant that I think the hype for Josh Gordon is entirely overinflated.
Seconded.
This is the guy that the Browns decided to move on from. The Browns, after putting up with a boatload of ups and downs for him. Yes, he has a ton of talent, but there is no way to know he's going to be able to keep his act together to stay on the field at all. Dez Bryant, though, RT, I'm not sure he's still looking for money. The guy might just want to play at a certain point. I think if you were looking for a receiver to make an impact, I think Dez would have been your guy. I do think you bring a hungry Michael Floyd in. He might be – all of a sudden, he's the veteran of the room, if nothing else. And he, because he has produced, maybe he's able to actually make some plays for you. Perryman does nothing for me. I also think there's going to be a roster situation here. Maybe – so a corresponding roster move is going to have to happen. Maybe that will be Rob Kelly to the IR because Gruden told us he needs toe surgery. He might be out a month. He might be out more than a month. But if they move Rob Kelly to the IR and sign both these guys, you're talking about seven wideouts at that point. Last year, they only kept five. You know, like, are they really going to keep seven wideouts?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
They usually
have
six, so it's not that much of a stretch. Go ahead and finish your point.
I mean, no, that was exactly where I was going. It might not be that much of a stretch, but they only kept five last year. So, like, keeping that seventh and only having three running backs when two of them are Chris Thompson and Adrian Peterson seems a little dicey as well.
You don't think that makes Samaje Perine active on Sunday?
Certainly. But you're talking about a 33-year-old that has had injury history over the last few years and Chris Thompson injury history over the last few years.
Meanwhile,
and maybe you want to get another running back in here.
Meanwhile, your offensive line is already starting to get banged up a little. Trent and Brandon's knees are both kind of iffy.
No, Pete, come on. They sat out a play or two. Let's not blow that out of proportion and call it banged
up. Taylor, I like dismissing Pete's thoughts, but I don't think that's dismissible. I mean, that O-line gets – think about it. They already had to go to their Laval contingency plan. Granted, it was just a couple plays.
Two snaps.
They had to go to it for sure.
Two snaps.
I'm telling you. I am not Brandon Sheriff is beat up at this point, I think, and it's early, but I just think there are reasons to be worried throughout the offensive roster. I guess that's my bigger point.
But I think to keep seven receivers for this week or for the time being or right now, whatever that time frame is, isn't the worst thing in the world. You have the backup running back to bring in if they end up having to make a move with Rob. There's two O-linemen that are available as your backups that are there, and if one of those guys needs to miss some time and you got to bring somebody in, it's not like bringing in a running back or a backup O-lineman this week. That guy's not going to still be available next week.
And there are five safeties on the roster too. I mean, they could make a move on defense as well. So, you know, I let's just wait and see what it is. We do know, however, that Kelly is going to be, whether he goes to injured reserve or not, you know, I think he's at least 4 weeks. Now you can hold him on the roster for 4 weeks if you know, if you want to do that, if you don't want to put them on injured reserve and maybe activate them later. But, you know, that's where, you know, and I think, JP, you kind of wanted to maybe hold this podcast, hold this discussion until we knew what that other roster move was. But, you know, so that's where we're kind of in the dark a little bit, to where, you know, we don't know what the other move is. So it's hard to really put a whole lot of, you know, give the big picture view when we don't know what that is.
I agree with you. I also can't believe I defended Pete on a day when he wasn't able to make two phone calls and set up the record. But I don't think
you make a very good point.
Mitch had trouble making the phone calls too, for the record. He was equally confused. And JP, thank you for standing up for me. It is appreciated.
He was not equally confused.
Mitch, were you not perplexed? It took you a second. We had to work together. Were you not confused?
Yes, it took me a second. No, we did not work together in that you just stood there and said, tell me when to press Pete.
We have cameras in the studio. We can show what happened. We were both confused.
Pete, you were saying, hey, guys, we can't do it. We'll have to record another way. Mitch said, give me 2 seconds to figure it out, in which he did, and then had Taylor and I on the phone within a minute.
Well, that was,
how are you going to compare those?
I was saying we might need to do it a different way before Mitch showed up, and once he showed up, he helped. But he certainly didn't do it in a snip-snap. It took him a second. He had to bounce around a little. We were moving around in this podcast studio.
All right, you're saying he helped. He did it. You didn't do anything.
I just liked when you stood up for me. Don't now turn on me again, okay, buddy?
You should see my eye roll right now, boys.
I can only imagine. Chandler, 1 to 10, 10 being, what's a 10? 10 is the Redskins' offensive line situation last year in the Seattle game. That is a true mess, right? Like a roster mess. I mean, they were starting guys. They signed that week. They had nobody available. They weren't even able to dress a whole 46 guys. So that is the peak of a mess. What is the Redskins' wide receiver situation right now? Scale of 1 to 10.
Wait, 10's a disaster, basically.
10 is as big of a disaster as you can get. And my example is the offensive line situation last year. In Seattle.
Well, it's about a 3 or 4. I mean, they have their 3 starters.
Yep.
So that's a major leg up over that offensive line of last year. So I'll go with a 3.
Right. But the thing to keep in mind with the O-line last year, I think they still had 2 starters out of 5. I'm with you. I think I'll say a 4. It's a 4, but it's trending up because this Mo Harris situation is just so nebulous and unexplained. So I'm going with a 4, but trending up. Mitchell?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I'm going maybe a 4.5. And yes, certainly with the potential to go up pretty quickly.
Okay,
is it time to panic?
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry, Pete. Let me before you jump in.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Yeah.
It's not, you know, Floyd, look, Maurice Harris, I like the guy. I hope he does well. The guy, Michael Floyd, could be considered an upgrade over Mo Harris at this point, once he gets a little time in the system. Mo Harris really
Well, that's the only thing. Mo is the only guy. Mo is the only guy on that roster that can play all 3 positions. So I think there's value in that as well.
But I think there's a lot of value in that.
He hasn't produced.
Yeah, he has 12 career catches.
Yeah. I don't know. Michael Floyd could be an upgrade over him. That's all I'll say. Pete, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm more concerned just how the wide receiver group as a whole is performing. The health issues aren't a big deal because, like Taylor said, the top 3 guys are untouched and you're kind of able to hide all the chaos behind those 3. But the position group is just totally hectic. This is not what you want to be 2 weeks in, just dealing with all these performance issues and new guys coming in. It's kind of wild how quickly things have turned on the outside.
Can I also just make one
quick... What was Pete's number? Sorry.
I'll say a 5.
So Pete is the most concerned of all of us.
Indeed. What were you going to say, Mitch?
I was just going to take a 30,000-foot view of this whole thing real quick, in that if you rewind this team 5 years ago, there wasn't a whole lot of talent across the board, and they've made a commitment to bulking up the O-line and D-lines, who, for the most part, have seemed much improved between last year and hopefully this year. And they haven't...
Week 2, they suck.
I know, but they haven't invested a whole lot in skill players and position players. And I think that you're seeing the cumulative effect of that.
if I may, they have a first-round pick
in Doxson. I know
they have a guy, and they have a guy
$40 million
acquisition that they spent $40 million on in Paul Richardson. So not to shoot holes in your theory, but I'm not sure I agree.
I don't want you to shoot holes in anything if I'm 30,000 feet up.
Sounds dangerous. But you know what I'm saying? I don't think you can dismiss the investments there.
No, I'm not dismissing the investment completely, just that they've made a more concerted effort in the front.
Chandler? In terms of draft capital, yeah, but they, again, like I said, you got the guy free agent, you want to look at more. They've re-signed Thompson to a new contract. Jordan Reed got an extension. I mean, Vernon Davis got some money.
They all got some money.
Can we even really say that about draft capital when Doxson's a first-round pick, too?
Yeah, exactly. I'll say that. But, you know, two, you got more first-round picks up front. You got Sheriff. You got Payne. You've got Allen. That's fine.
That's fair.
But, yeah, it's not like skill positions have been neglected.
Yeah, I mean, they also drafted guys this year, and I don't think we should all of a sudden now be annoyed at the Redskins for building through the trenches when we've been hoping they've done that for a while.
I don't know what's going on that I'm defending Pete and disagreeing with Mitch. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Well, Mitch almost did run me over with his car today, so that's why I'm trying to attack him a little bit. He almost hit me in Bethesda. And then didn't even apologize.
That's the highlight of my day, hearing that story.
Yeah, it was a blue Honda Pilot sped by, and I was like, that looks like Mitch's car. He turned left, and I was like, that's Mitch. Damn him.
If I would have thought about it, I would have had the gas a little harder.
That would have been a real emergency podcast.
Emergency room.
Emergency room podcast. All right. Up or down vote, no wiggle room. A fifth round pick is all it took to acquire Josh Gordon from the Redskins, and ends up there's conditional terms on there. The Patriots might get a pick back, depending on if Gordon can play. We all know who Gordon is. We know who he isn't. He's not dependable. He's not trustworthy at this stage of his career. But if he can be on the field, he's very talented. Up or down, no wiggle room. The Redskins will have at least 2 fifth-round picks this year, possibly more. Should the Redskins have made the move to go get Josh Gordon?
Okay, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
No, simply because they just don't have the – it would not be the right atmosphere for him. I think the Patriots are his best shot. So a definite no, it would not have worked out here.
Mitch?
I agree, and I agree. No, not worth it. You don't want a guy that you can't trust. Talked a lot about trust last year with all the injuries and how Gruden was having trouble game planning, not knowing who was going to be available week to week. The last thing you want to do is bring in another guy who's going to leave you in the trenches since you don't know if he's going to be available week to week.
All right, Pete.
Yeah, I'm in a weird spot where I'm not very happy or excited about Perriman or Floyd, but I'd rather the team try them than Gordon or Dez. Dez is a guy who can't get open. That's what the Redskins receivers are having trouble with, so why bring in a guy who hasn't been able to get open for a couple years and could be an issue? And Gordon is so unreliable, I'm kind of annoyed with this whole, of course he ended up in New England, he's going to be great. Like, they take on projects all the time that don't work, and he's still a big-time trouble guy. So I'm fine with them addressing receiver, but not necessarily with the big flashy names.
I'm surprised by this, but I'm disagreeing. They should have gone and gotten him. Fifth-round pick, when you have a bunch of them, you're paying a nothing price. The defense can get nothing going downfield, and frankly, I don't see – we've talked about this all season. I don't see a 1,000-yard receiver in this group. Maybe Doxson can be a red zone threat, but I think they could use the injection of – speed and talent, and if it doesn't work, it costs you nothing. You cut them. You just cut them.
But what about
it's a one game sample size? But in his one game that he played this year, how'd he do, JP?
He had a catch for a touchdown. Has any Redskins receiver caught a touchdown in two games?
How many snaps did he have?
70. I could look it up.
70 snaps, one catch.
That sounds like a Doxson game. Mitch also brought up that his big year was 2013. JP, you said Dez's performance last year outweighed what Gordon has done in like the past 4 years.
I'm getting close to the point. If one of these top three guys gets hurt, I think they should bring Dez in. or at least give it a serious consideration. The offense getting zero from the receiver spot, especially on the outside. Maybe not zero, but they're getting very little. And maybe I am overreacting to week two, but week two was really bad, fellas. And week one offensively only looked good because they were able to run the ball dominantly. So unless that run game returns, then I think this conversation is going to get a little bit more serious.
I agree. We've been talking about the two guys they brought in. I think there's a chance that Michael Floyd comes in and can be the number one option on the outside. Am I crazy?
That's not Sunday, but maybe in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm saying give him a couple weeks.
Unless guys get hurt. But, well,
if that happens, Doxson becomes even more irrelevant. He probably is the one who gets bumped out.
I mean, to be honest, not even injury-related, if this week they can't get anything going from the three receivers on the outside, I think they're going to take a nice hard look on the bye week and see what they can bring in and see what kind of difference they can make. I mean, if you're 3 weeks into the season and have a handful of catches from your number, you know, 1, 2, and 3 receiver, that ain't bueno.
And you know, like, I feel like we all try to be measured and hope, maybe we're not, but like, I mean, these numbers through two games are terrible. Doxson's got 5 catches for 48 yards. Crowder's 5 for 40. Richardson's 8 for 85. I think they need a good week, and a lot of this conversation will shift. But there has not been much to be encouraged about at wideout. And maybe Michael Floyd can be that difference. It's been a lot of years since he was good, too. And there's been off-the-field stuff there, too. So who knows, man? But I do think it's not an accident that they're bringing two wideouts in. And you know, it was the thing when they brought back Brian Quick right away and brought in Jahu Chasen to replace Cam Sims and Trey Quinn, because I think at that point they're like, hey, we like the guys we have. We just need some special teams guys, bottom-of-the-bench guys. But now you're bringing in name guys. You're bringing in former first-round picks. I think the conversation turned a little bit inside Redskins Park. Michael Floyd, you're not bringing him in to be your gunner on punt coverage. You guys agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I only looked back 2 years, but the two new receivers combined have played 2 snaps on special teams in the last 2 years. Both of those were Floyd in 2016. So these are not special teams guys. It'll be interesting to see if they say, hey, you're going to be a backup receiver. You got to do something. They're not going to be a gunner or anything, but it will be interesting to see.
To be fair, there aren't
what ends up happening there.
To be fair, there aren't a whole lot of first round picks that end up playing special teams.
Well, but then you know what? They're not first round picks anymore. They're guys scrapping,
right,
trying to stay.
So
on
what
the
I'm
team
saying is, I would expect to see Perriman, particularly
Perriman
on specials with his speed.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Mitch. And I agree with Chandler. They're not special. They're not first-round picks anymore. That doesn't matter anymore.
I was saying in regards to the number of special team snaps they took over the past few years with their previous clubs. But regardless, I expect to see them play special teams here in D.C.
Well, Floyd was a guy who wandered into, you know, got signed by the Vikings and had a 4-game suspension. I'm kind of surprised actually that they didn't say, hey, you gotta play special teams. But last year he played zero, so we will see.
For what it's worth, when we credit New England for trying to take guys on, the Patriots brought in Michael Floyd in 2016. So it's not like the Skins are that far off the scent in that one, at least.
The Patriots have also brought in a lot of guys that didn't end up working out. They just get so much credit when one of their guys does.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Joe Cinco.
Yeah, they had Corey Coleman a week ago. They already cut him. It's like they do this all the time.
I'm just glad at least I haven't gotten any tweets that the Redskins should go after Corey Coleman.
Super Bowls and they can do, you know, they can do anything they want.
All right, it's time to go. We're not even supposed to have a podcast today, and we've gone 30 minutes. Or maybe not quite 30 minutes. Some of that was probably Mitch and Pete figuring out the phones early on. Chandler, where are you going to be Sunday at 11 o'clock?
Orange Lot A. Enjoying what are we serving there? Who knows? Whatever we're serving, I will eat, and I'll be greeting.
Mitch, you were in the meeting. What are we serving?
You know what? let's leave it as a surprise. We are serving lots of food. We have gourmet chefs that are going to be grilling stuff up on the charcoal, I believe. We're going to have cornhole. We're going to have big Jenga. We're going to have footballs. We're going to have a lot of fun is what we're going to have.
You can go catch passes from Rich Tandler.
We're going to have big Jenga? That's pretty fun.
Don't run too deep a pattern. My arm is...
Yeah, you think the Redskins' downfield passing is bad. Just wait till you see Tandler dropping back.
Yeah. Mitch, are you sure about the big Jenga? That will be fun.
I am positive about the big Jenga.
Big man playing big Jenga.
All right, well, then here's another question. Are you just not sure what food we're serving, or do you really want it to be a surprise?
I want it to be a surprise. I want the people to come hungry.
Let's just say it's a tailgate. It's not like, it's tailgate food. It's not like we're going to be serving crazy hibachi or, like, Chinese food. You can figure out what we're going to be serving.
We got some deets and watts and goodies coming our way.
Yes.
I'm not sure Mitch knows what we're getting. I'm going on record. At least last year I knew what we were getting, 100 hamburgers.
Because you bought them.
Right.
JP, again, can you bring out some us?
Marketing.
My people are taking over. My people are bringing in two trucks with refrigerators on board. So there's going to be some nice cool food for the folks and some nice hot food on the grills.
What the hell is it? You're bringing in two trucks worth of refrigerated cold food?
I promise you the food this year.
Talk about.
I will promise you the food this year will far outweigh the food last year. I guarantee it.
All right. Well,
a misguarantee
is on the line. That's the big one.
All right.
We're going to go. I want to read two reviews real quick. First one is from Herp in the Derp. He gave us 5 stars. He said, thanks for the awesome analysis and fun interaction between you guys and the players' coaches. Hoping to make the next Redskins Talk podcast party. JP, if I make it that far, you owe me a beer. This dude listens from Norway. I just found that incredible.
I don't even know where Norway is.
Of course you don't, Pete. It's in Scandinavia, which Pete thought was one country.
Yeah, I just recently learned that that's a bunch of countries.
He even put the Norwegian flag emoji in the review, which I thought was pretty awesome.
I'm impressed you know the Norwegian flag.
He lives there.
No, not our listener.
It's doofus.
I know.
I'm good at geography.
Never mind.
Don't
carry on.
My geography skills.
Well, their flag's a big plus.
It's a cool flag, too. All right, this one I had to
get. That's Switzerland, but I got that.
I know.
This one, we weren't supposed to do a podcast today. I think the receiver situation called for one. We texted last night and decided we would do one today. So this is from SK Dask. He says, keep up the good work. 5 stars. Love the pod. Love the Skins. If the pod is delayed or there is a day without a pod, a little part of my soul dies. So SK Dask, you weren't supposed to get one today, but I'm worried about your soul. So here is your bonus Tuesday podcast. Everybody be there Sunday, Orange A Lot. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer, and thank you to the good folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Y'all should ride with them.
Also, if you made it this far, go to Redskins Talk Pod for a great video of Rich and JP interacting behind the scenes. They are a mess.
On Instagram.
The Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah, Mitch was there just causing trouble in the background.
It is 1 minute of pure gold.
If you ever want to see Rich cry laughing, this is the spot to go.
At Redskins Talk Pod on Instagram. Sorry, JP, for ruining your sign-off.
All right, that's fine. See you guys on Sunday.